It brings me to what I want to talk about today. It brings me to our study in Colossians. And I kind of surprised my wife today on the way to church. And that doesn't happen very often because she knows me really well. But we were talking on the way to church and I said, well, I'm wrapping up Colossians today. She's, you're wrapping up Colossians already? And I said, yeah. I said, my goal in teaching from Colossians wasn't to do a full study of the book of Colossians, not to give an exegetical summary or an exegetical teaching of the entire book, but to touch on certain portions of it that I felt really aid in our walking closer with our Savior. And so we've looked at the book of Colossians. We've looked at it from Paul's admiration of the Colossian people and their love for the Lord and for each other. We looked a little bit about the culture in which the church was set and how the invading culture was pushing in on the church of Colossae and the effect that that would have on the church. And why Paul wrote that letter was to help the people at Colossae, the brothers and sisters in Christ, who were going to have to deal with these philosophies and these teachings that stand opposed to who Christ is, that stand opposed to the truth of Scripture. And so we looked at a lot of that. Today I want to conclude by talking about what Paul does after he talks to the church of Colossae as far as who Christ is and how they can stand strong because of the love that he has for them and the truth of who he was and who he is and who he will always be. That if they build their lives, build their foundation for their lives solidly on the truth of who Christ is, then they could stand against the storms and the tempests that pushed against them. The storms and the tempest of false teaching, of bad doctrine, and of evil that would like to separate them from their walk with the Savior, that would like to knock them off their out of their equilibrium in the love of God. And Paul didn't go about that by saying, okay, now here are all the tenets of the false teaching that you have to stand against. He said, here's who Christ is. Here's the heart of the Father. Here's the relationship that he has given you because of your faith. That is how you will stand strong against these evils that are coming up. So he laid out for them who Christ was and who they are in Christ. Then he moves on to chapter 3. What we have now is chapter 3. To say, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Okay, now he has just laid out the foundation of who Christ is and how their lives have been changed, how they have been transformed by the washing of his blood, washing their sins away and making them new creations. And then he goes on to say, since this has happened, now do this. And what does he say? Since this has happened, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is your life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So who we are in Christ is not this physical body that we walk around, but it's in the new creation that Christ has made in us by the redemption, by him redeeming us out of sin and creating in us a new life. And that life is now hidden with Christ in God. We're not this earthly body. So, then, what do we do now? Put to death. Therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. And he goes on to list a number of things that we need to put to death or put aside. He's saying, this is who you are. Why continue doing these things of who you were? This is who you are because Christ, by his blood, has made you a new creation. Put those things behind you. Those things that would distract you from your walk with the Savior, get rid of them. They're of no value anymore to you because that's not who you are anymore. And then he goes on to say, as he's given this lie, he kind of wraps it up, or given these instructions of what to put to death, he kind of wraps it up by saying, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of the Creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, free or slave, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with, and he gives another list. So first he says, now that you're a believer, now that Christ has made you a new person, put off these things, these bad things, these sins that belong to your old body, and put on. So he starts with the negative and then goes to the positive. Now put on these things. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you have a grievance against someone, forgive them as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So Paul, after he is established in Colossae, with the people of Colossae, the foundation of their faith, which is Christ, then he says, now that you understand this, put off these things and put on these things. And this is a lot, the heart of what Paul is getting to within the whole foundation of his letter to the Colossians. You have these things pressing against you that would like to take you away from your walk with Christ. So establish yourselves firm in the knowledge of who Christ is and in the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Then, put off these things which are going to distract you in your walk with him, and put on these things which are a picture of Christ in you. Paul then goes on to make this remarkable statement. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, Since as members of one body, you were called to peace and be thankful. And as I was working on my message for this morning, I got to that part where he says, and be thankful, and it reminded me of something that I've been studying for a little while. And it comes from the Old Testament, and it has to do a little bit with my love of Hebrew. And that's part of the reason why I wore my sweatshirt today. There is a phrase that appears over and over and over and over again, both in the Old Testament, in Hebrew, in the life of Christ, and in the writings of the apostles. And it all has to do with thanking God. If we understand who we are in Christ, if we understand what God has done for us, that in spite of the fact that we rebelled against Him as a people, individually we've rebelled against Him, and still He loved us, that should take us to the point where we are exceedingly thankful for what He has done. And that's how Paul kind of ties all of this together in his letter to the Colossians. Okay, here's who Christ is. Here's who you are in Christ. Here's how many of you know the name Francis Schaeffer? Francis Schaeffer was, I won't get into detail about, but anyway, he was a remarkable intellect. And he wrote a book, How Shall We Then Live? And I kind of think, every time I get to this part of Paul's letter to the Colossians, I feel like Paul is saying, quoting Francis Schaeffer, how shall we then live? Because he says, here's who Christ was, is. Here's who you are in Christ. Now, how shall you then live? And he lays it out to us and how we shall then live. And it's living with allowing Christ to live His life through us, allowing Christ to love us so much that love that's flowing into us cannot help but flow out of us. And as that love of God is working in our lives, those things that belong to our old being, we have no need of anymore. We can put them behind us. We never really did need them, but we thought we did. But now let's put them off, put them behind us, and be thankful. And thank God for the incredible work that He has done in our lives. And that's kind of how Paul wraps up this chapter 3 of the book of Colossians. And then in chapter 4, he goes into his greetings and talking about greet this person and to give them this message. But chapter 3 concludes the heart of Paul's message to the Colossians. And one of the things that hit me a little while ago is something I started writing for my wife. And I was kind of reflecting on our relationship with each other. And I realized how the last 4 years have been very difficult years for us. And I wrote, I wish life had no pain, no sorrow, but far too often pain creeps in and steals away the illusion of the ideal life that we pretend that we have been living. A life free of pain and free of disappointment was never promised, nor could it exist in the fallen world in which we live. These past 4 years have brought with them some of the worst pain I have ever experienced. Donna going home has brought back to my mind the glaring, painful reality that so many things that we have loved about this life we have chosen to live here in Alaska has changed. It has caused me to look back on the things and relationships that are either gone forever or for the duration of our time here on this earth. Both of us know these pains too well. As I was working on my message for today, I happened to come upon this that I had been working on writing for my wife. And in the end, I said, I'm so thankful that God put you in my life and that we've been able to go through this together. But as I started reading it, I realized that in my life, so often, I focus so much on the negative, the painful parts, the things that hurt. And I forget all of the incredible things that God is doing in my life. All of the incredible work that He has done. The lives that I've been able to touch. The lives that have touched me. And as I was working on my message for today, it kept coming back to me, and be thankful. And it made me refocus. It made me remember who Christ is in my life. And even though all these things that have been painful for us, so painful in the last 4 years, I know that my Redeemer lives and that He will stand on the last day. I would wager that many of you act a little bit in your minds the same way that I do, that we focus on the painful things and often overlook how great our God is to us. And how wonderful it is to understand and to know His love. And today I just wanted to be able to wrap up my look on Colossians with being thankful. And I thought, you know, I've mentioned a singer by the name of Joshua Aaron before. He's a Jewish-born believer in Christ, and he sings a lot in both English and Hebrew. And he doesn't know it, but he's helping me learn Hebrew. But he has a song that's called Hodu. Hodu is the word, Hebrew word for be thankful. And I thought, you know, I want to look this up in Scripture and see where he's getting it from. And I found, as I started looking, I looked up the word Hodu, and it is remarkable how many times that word is used in Scripture. It's all through the Old Testament. But then there's this one phrase that he got the song from that's found in Psalms 107. And in the notes that I passed out, I have Psalms 107. And it says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Okay, and right below that in my notes, I have Psalm 107 in Hebrew. It would read in Hebrew, Hodu Ladonai Ki Ata Ki. I did that really badly. Sorry about that. Let me try that again. Hodu Ladonai Ki Tov. Hodu being be thankful, be thanks, give thanks. Ladonai is the L apostrophe, is to Yahweh, give thanks to Yahweh. Ki tov, for He is good. And then it goes on to say, Ki la'olan hasdu. Now, Ki La'olan is for forever. His grace. That's the literal Hebrew of that. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good for forever. His grace, His mercy, His love. That word has do is a form of the word hasid that I've used many times in that vow taught on a little bit a couple weeks ago. That is a very encompassing word. It means His love, His mercy, His grace. It's often translated as loving kindness. In one of the verses I looked at, it translated as His forever love. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for forever His grace. And I was, that phrase shows up 13 times in the Old Testament, most of them in the book of Psalms. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And then as I was looking at some of the other places it's used, the word hudu is used, I came upon Psalm 30, verse 4, where it says, sing praises to the Lord, you His faithful people, praise His holy name. And hodu is used in that word. And as I was looking at that in Hebrew, there was a word in that. And if you turn that page over, you'll see that I have. So I've put in blue all the times in Hebrew that hodu is there. But then you'll see that there's another word in red. And the word in red is the word hasdu in the first verse. In the second verse, I saw a word that looked a whole lot like hasid, the Hebrew word hasid. That's not hasid, but it's close to hasid. So I looked it up. And the word that's translated there is translated in many translations as faithful people. But when I looked up what it really means, it means His holy ones, His saints. And for those of you who were around when Larry was here, he often would say that God's favorite word, God's favorite name for us is saints. When God talks about us, He talks about us as being His saints, His holy ones. Not because of anything that we've done, but because of who He has made us to be. And I thought, wow, that's really similar to the word hasid. And as I looked it up, it's from the same root, from hasid. And I started putting it together. Now the Hebrew people, the Jewish people speak Hebrew. And as they put these two words together, they relate grace to us being God's holy ones. And a kind of a light bulb went off. And I said, we are His holy ones because of His hasid. We are His holy ones because of His loving kindness and His hasid for us. His grace and His mercy. And so down below there, you'll see a number of different words in Hebrew, and they all tie back to the same one, hasid, which is mercy, grace, loving kindness, goodness, and unfailing love. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness lasts forever. His hodu, or His hasid, lasts forever. And because of that, we are His holy ones. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You for the love You've given us, for redeeming us,
that we are no longer the sinful ones that we were, but that we are now your holy ones. Help us to remember to give thanks, not to dwell on the things that have disappointed us, that have hurt us, that have caused us pain, but to focus on the goodness that your love has given us. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen.